Couples are waiting longer to start families these days for a whole host of reasons, and a growing number of them, with the help of modern medicine, are having kids after 45. Joining me now to discuss this trend and its implications is New York Magazine contributing editor Lisa Miller. Her article, Parents of a Certain Age, is in the September 25th issue of the magazine, and I'm pleased to welcome her back to our show today. We'll also be taking your calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. So if you've become a parent in your late 40s or later, or considering it, or are the child of older parents, maybe you would like to join the conversation. The number again, 646-829-3985. Hi, Lisa.
Good afternoon.
Didn't you choose to have a child later in life?
Later is a relative term. I had my baby at 40, which in my particular time and place is perfectly normal.
Well, it's when the clock seems to be ticking.
Yeah, but among the other parents in my daughter's class, I am not the oldest by any means. But, you know, if I had made that decision 20 years ago, I would have been a freak. And that's one of the points that the story makes, right? That this is a sliding scale. 20 years ago, 40 was way too old. There were magazine articles written about how crazy it was that women had babies at 40. Oh, my goodness, she's going to die of a heart attack. Can she possibly handle it? And now it's perfectly normal.
But now we're talking about postmenopausal in many cases, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, now the technology can bring a woman out of menopause to carry a child, which is extraordinary and has been able to for 10 or more years.
What kinds of reasons did the older parents you spoke to for this piece give you for wanting to have children later in life?
They're the reasons that you would expect. It took a while to find the right partner. It, you know, professional obligations got in the way or took precedence over baby making for a period of time. Among gay men especially, there's this idea that you can do it now when 20 years ago it wasn't even in the culture. So there's this sort of celebratory mood around gay domesticity that's making a lot of men especially have children later.
Well, but throughout history, men, older men, have had children with younger women. Here we're talking about older women having children.
Right.
Whether they're having it for themselves or as surrogates for others.
That's right. Older women and gay men who are both in their 50s, sometimes older than that. Yeah, it's a phenomenon that's brought about by technology, by culture, by sort of squeezing demands of modern life.
So why do you think this seems to me to be reasonable? Why do you think so many of these older parents have been called selfish?
Right. So there's this radical yuck reaction to these older women, I think. And if you look at the cover of the magazine, it's an older woman who's, it's a photo illustration, who's pregnant. And the widespread reaction is like, yuck. And I think it's a kind of ageism that we haven't recognized in ourselves. We want parents to look pretty and young and energetic and like people on the TV show Parenthood or on television ads. You know, we have this expectation that parents should teach their children how to ride bikes and throw balls. And that's not necessarily what parents are supposed to do.
Because as they get older, it's less likely that they're going to go out and toss the ball around with their kid?
I don't think that's true, actually. I think today's 50-year-olds, a lot of the 50-year-olds that we're talking about, can very well throw a ball with their kid. But I think there's a bigger question here, which is, what does a parent do? Does a parent love their child and take care of them and keep them safe? Or does a parent teach you how to ride your bike? You know, what is the responsibility of a parent and what's too old to do that?
Well, I could see a lot of people saying yuck when they realize that somebody who has not really fully matured, is 18, 19, 20, or even into the 30s, not really ready to give full attention to a child, has a child.
Right.
How many parents say, I really didn't figure it out until the second or third one?
Well, that's absolutely right. And a lot of the half of the story is devoted to all of the research showing that the children of these parents are likely to do just fine. And there's a line in the story that says, really, almost nothing is more damaging to a child than to have parents who are too young. So that's a very good point.
Janet on Facebook left this comment. She says, in the 1950s, my parents' first-time parenthood at 40 made them older parents, and that wouldn't be the case now.
That's right. I mean, I talked to an OBGYN who said that when he was a medical resident, A pregnant woman came into their office at 36, and all of the doctors would whisper, "Oh my God, she's going to have a heart attack. What is she thinking?"
But wasn't there also a concern that as the woman got older, her eggs were deteriorating?
Yes.
And that there was much more likely birth defects as a result of a child
that
was born
older. There are definitely risks of carrying a child when you're older. Over 35, your risk of Down syndrome increases. Over 40, all kinds of things are more dangerous in pregnancy. You have a higher risk of preeclampsia. You have a higher risk of gestational diabetes. And these women have to cope with that. Ironically, if you use a donor egg, you're at lower risk for Down syndrome, right, because they're younger eggs. But clearly, this is an ethical problem, a question of bioethics. You know, how are you going to make this decision? But I would argue that, you know, there are ethical questions anytime anybody wants to have a child, and older is not by far the worst thing that a parent can be.
So you didn't go back and forth in your opinions while you were working on this piece?
I did. I did go back and forth of my opinions because, you know, I know how hard being a parent is, and I know that you never sleep, and I know that you're exhausted, and I was 40 when I had my child, and I am exhausted. On the other hand, I don't think you're less exhausted when you're 30. I think being a parent is exhausting, and there's no reason why you shouldn't do it at 50.
A listener, James in Princeton, left this comment. He says, "We are the parents of a wonderful 5-year-old son. Both my wife and I are in our 50s, and though there are some challenges, the most difficult thing is changing our selfish ways and learning how to teach him to play as long as he does. It's great."
I mean, one of the things that people say, people who have older parents who have children say, is that they can give their kids a kind of wisdom and life experience that a younger parent can't. So you know what you want, you know what you value, you know what you like, you know what's important. You have a kind of leisure and perspective that a younger parent doesn't have.
I'm talking with Lisa Miller of New York Magazine. Her article, Parents of a Certain Age, is in the September 25th issue of the magazine. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You also received a lot of comments in the magazine.
The comment boards are crazy, and everybody's weighing in with their personal experiences.
In the past, you would have written an article and waited for some of the letters to come in, and maybe 3 or 4 would have been published on the letters page. Now, people write into the comments page. Some of them are going to be a bit wild and crazy, but you get to learn so much more about your readers.
It's really true. And you get to watch people, you know, really, I mean, the same people come back and really have a conversation with each other over several days now. I had an older parent, and it was the greatest thing in the world because he or she could devote all of his or her attention to me. I had an older parent, and it was horrible because he was sick, and I had to take care of him when I was too young. You know, people are really living out these debates in real time on the message boards. It's great.
Michael in Morningside Heights writes, "Ageism, what about millions of years of nature?" He goes on to mention that the great likelihood of parents succumbing to illness and disease, to a certain extent, this isn't fair to the children.
Well, a lot of people say that. But if you look at life expectancy charts, you know, the average woman lives to be 81 today. The average man lives to be 76. You know, when your reader is talking about people died at 50. And menopause has always happened at around 50. So menopause was a way of preventing people who were dying from having children.
It is ironic that men die younger than women, and yet we don't think, well, I guess when Tony Randall has a kid in his 70s, some people raise their eyebrows.
People raise their eyebrows, but it's a joke, you know? I mean, Elton John just had a baby at 60-odd. We think it's kind of a sign of virility. Whereas when a woman decides to do it, people really say yuck. And I think that's a double standard that we need to examine carefully.
And if that woman is also having the child with a younger man, there's a double yuck, isn't there?
That's right. And if the woman happens to be ambitious or successful or spending a lot of time at the office, she's particularly reviled, I think.
Well, aren't a lot of the older mothers more successful than their younger counterparts?
Yes, and there's a direct correlation, as Elizabeth Gregory shows in her book called Ready. There's a direct correlation between delaying childbirth and economic success. So the longer you delay having children, the more well-off you are. And in today's economy, that seems like it really matters.
Let's take a call from Shears. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. This is Shira from New York. I was born in Israel to Holocaust survivor parents, and my mother was 47 when I was born, and my father was 55. And I was never very fond of having older parents. I lost my parents very early in life. My father died when I was 13, and my mother died when I was 30. And also, since they were so old, and they treated me like a jewel. I was so precious because it was a miracle that I was born altogether. And on top of it, all the kids in school would always tease me and would say, are these your parents or are these your grandparents? So this is the flip side to what your guest is saying.
On the other hand, there is another side to the story, and that's the Holocaust survivor side. I have a feeling that if they had been in their 20s and survived the Holocaust and had you would have also have been considered a jewel, because they would have considered just as much a miracle that they had survived.
That's true. I mean, I wasn't alone in this situation, because a lot of people that had lost their previous family in the Holocaust had tried again to create a second family at a later stage. But it was pretty extreme that my mother had me at 47, and that was in 1957.
I guess I would just say that there is no objective measure of good parenting, and that age shouldn't be the dividing line between good and bad parents, because, as I just said, you know, on the New York Magazine message boards, there are plenty of people who had older parents who, for one reason or other, thought that it was a gift or a blessing. So people experience their pleasant parents in all different kinds of ways, and the age itself shouldn't be the factor that rules it out.
Thank you so much for your call. Along these lines, Martel on Facebook asks, doesn't the age difference between parents and children make it harder to relate?
Yes and no. I mean,
because there is a bigger generation gap than there is. If your parents grew up listening to rock and roll and you are now listening to rock and roll, it's not the same thing as if your parents grew up listening to swing and you want to hear rock and roll.
Right, but there's all of this research. Remember 10 years ago we were reading and writing stories that said, you know, baby boomers are trying too hard to be their kids' friends, and they need to be their kids' parents, and they need to be authority figures, and they need to be adults. And so I just think this whole conversation about what's a good parent and this wish for rules somehow is a little bit delusional. I think there are good parents and there are bad parents, and there are and being 50 or 55 or 47 or being is not the factor, I don't think.
We have a link to Lisa Miller's column in New York Magazine called Parents of a Certain Age on our show page, and you can also leave a comment there, or you can give us a call at 646-829-3985. We'll be back with more right after this. We are back with Lisa Miller, who is a contributing editor to New York Magazine. Her article, Parents of a Certain Age, is in the September 25th issue of the magazine. And if you can't find it, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org, where you'll find a link to it. We have been getting a lot of comments. And by the way, we invite your calls as well at 646-829-3985. Anne in Manhattan wrote, I had my first child at 35, my second at 37. My brother, 7 years older than me, had his at 25. I watch him now at 47, practically an empty nester with a little envy. He and his wife are really enjoying their lives while still young. I'll be pushing 60 with kids in college. That said, I learned a lot from watching both their success and mistakes as parents.
Right. There's a couple in near the end of my story, Fiona and Nick Palin, who were trying to have children starting in her late 30s and succeeded only in May when she's 49. And, you know, they're the kind of people who traveled the world before they started to want to have children. And they went to the Great Wall of China, and they met on an airplane, and they had all of their adventures before. And they're very content about that. They say, you know, we had our adventures before, we lived our life fully, and now we're ready to do this. And so I think, you know, you just have to take your lumps and understand that the end of your life is not going to be about leisure.
You're obviously not convincing everyone. Joan says, can you comment about being out of step with other family members, such as much older cousins and grandparents, etc.?
The couples who make this decision, I have found, tend to be very aware of what the downsides are. And they do what they can to make sure that their kids aren't lonely, alienated. You know, they set up the Palins, who I was just talking about, are already thinking about the kind of school that they want to send their daughter to. She's 5 months old right now, where she'll have a bunch of peers that will replace family. Now, obviously, you know, these are different situations than we're used to, but that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're different.
We go now to Peter from Brooklyn. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Lovely discussion. I just wanted to raise the issue, as the child of significantly older parents, of how a child's cultural upbringing is so completely determined by age of parents. I mean, my older parents had, of course, older friends, people their generation, very few of whom had children themselves. So visiting parents' friends, associating with my parents' friends, really didn't involve other kids.
Did that feel bad or good? Did you feel like you were privy to the adult world, or did you feel you were being denied a chance to connect to cousins of the same age?
It started out being fairly negative and became increasingly positive as I got older, because I found when I was hanging particularly with teenage friends that I could bring something to the conversation that was new to them. But as a small child, it was pretty isolating. I wouldn't say traumatic or anything terrible, but that was...
I just want to say that there's this perception out there that these parents are – I'm pulling back a little bit to say that there's this perception out there that these parents are reckless or selfish or not thinking about the best interests of the child. But in my experience of them, it's exactly the opposite. They understand that they're bringing a child into the world in a unique situation or a, you know, unusual situation, and they really do what they can to make sure that these kids have peers, you know, have as normal a life as they can. You know, Kate Garros, who's one of the moms I talked to for the story, had twins at 53. And she talks about the Beatles. And she said she went to Woodstock. And, you know, her brother gave her a button that said, I may be old, but I saw all the good bands. So it's not like they're trying to be 27. They understand that they're 50. And they're just trying to give their kids what they can give them.
Let's go to Roy from... Roosevelt Island. Hi, Roy. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm really enjoying your show. I think people who have a downside attitude towards older parents really are missing out on a new fountain of youth. I happen to be 81, and I'm the father of 9-year-old twins. And to me, this is a new lifetime. I'm fortunate in that I'm in good health, and I think I attribute my youthfulness to the fact that I'm a meditator. I've been doing TM for 40 years, and that they say they have scientific evidence that that reverses the aging process. Well, I'm physical evidence that it works.
How old is your partner, your wife, or whoever?
She now is in her late 50s.
Right.
So she had the child when she was 49.
So one of the studies that I cite in the story is a study from researchers at Arizona State University, and they found that kids who lost a parent young coped better with life's little hassles, stresses, than kids who came from intact two-parent families if their relationship with the surviving parent was really good. If their relationship with the surviving parent was bad, then they coped not well at all. But I found it really interesting that sort of overprotective parents, helicopter parents, the kind of parents that we read about in certain magazines, are actually more damaging to kids than families where there's a really good connection with the surviving parent and the other parent, you know, dies when the kid is quite young.
We've been getting a lot of people writing in. Kate from Newport, Rhode Island writes, Can you please bring up the issue of the couple in Italy? She was 50-something and he's 70, and the judge decided they were too old to raise a child. The child should be put up for adoption.
Right. There's a big conversation, especially in the world of fertility clinics, about how to deal with this, because now we can do it, and we can do it well, and we'll be doing it more and more. And there's this new technology called egg freezing, which will allow more people to have children after 45. So when a woman walks into a clinic and she's 52 and she wants a baby, what is the fertility clinic's obligation to her? This is a big bioethical question that a lot of people are trying to sort out.
And there is a class issue here as well, isn't there? Sophie in Poughkeepsie writes this morning, she heard an interview with Carla Bruni. She's expecting her second child. She's in her mid-40s. The bottom line is that you need to have money to have a kid. Kids are expensive to raise, whatever the age. And in the case of going to fertility clinics, these treatments can be incredibly expensive. We're not seeing too many poor people deciding to have kids women in their 50s and 60s because they just couldn't afford it.
That is definitely true. Fertility treatment is incredibly expensive. Insurance often doesn't pay for it. If you want to go through a surrogate, which a lot of people end up doing, that can cost as much as $110,000 per round. It's incredible. Even adoption, between $20,000 and $40,000 out of pocket. So you're right. 50-year-old who decides to have a baby has some disposable income. The upside of this, and this is not fair, is that disposable income makes people healthier and makes them live longer, and it gives them a kind of cushion to be good parents. They can take time off from work, perhaps, to take the kid to the field trip. They have a little bit more margin to be checked in.
Let's take another call. This one is from Carol from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Carol. It's a little misleading to say that the fertility clinics and the fertility treatments are a good thing in all ways, because most of the people who are the women who are having children older are taking fertility drugs. That's the bottom line. And all of us who have taken fertility drugs are now facing breast cancers, ovarian cancers, uterine cancers. We're getting very highly tested. The minute anything goes wrong, we're having 20 tests to make sure that there's nothing wrong. And so when these parents get cancer and die, this is not a good thing. So it's misleading not to say straight out that older parents usually have to take fertility drugs, and there are risks to that that are deadly often.
Okay, so let me ask you about this. In your studies, did you find that a lot of the people who take the fertility drugs were dying younger than other people?
No. And the risks between fertility drugs and various cancers are not proven. Although there's a lot of conversation about this out there. And I would just add that having children is a risk. So you have to know that going in.
18-year-olds die in childbirth.
Yeah. I mean, it's risky.
Bukola from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, hi. Yes, you did. Thank you for taking my call. I'm originally from Africa, and I had my son when I was 40. I was 40, going on 41, and that's considered a no-no in my society and my culture. Like, that's way too old. And if I'd had him earlier than that, I don't think I would have been a good parent, because I wasn't ready. I was always traveling. So I feel good that I had him when I had him. But the only huge disadvantage is that my friend's children are in high school or they're in college, so my son he wound up growing up alone, and that's very painful to me, but or heartbreaking, I should say. But, there's nothing we can do about it. But that's just life. I'm just saying that I'm a better parent now than I would have been then if I'd had him earlier. I just didn't realize that I was getting old, actually.
A lot of people say that. A lot of people say they wouldn't have had the patience, they wouldn't have had the bandwidth, they wouldn't have had the stamina, whatever, younger. I don't think having a child at 25 or 30 is necessarily a bad thing. I think the story just tries to point out that our yuck reaction to the older parents is perhaps unfounded.
Cliff in Brooklyn writes, my wife and I were considering adopting from China, but now they put restrictions on adoption for parents over 50. And Maureen in New York writes, Does it make sense when adoption agencies do not want me and my husband to participate in their programs because I'm 46, my husband is 69? They claim that if I were to adopt now by myself, that should not be a problem, but because I am married to an older man, that is a problem.
Yeah, it's interesting. The adoption agencies and the fertility clinics approach this all really differently. And adoption agencies and various countries are very stringent about age requirements, and there are cutoffs. And if you're over 45 or over 50, or if your cumulative age is 100, or if your cumulative age is 80, you can't do it. And when you go into an adoption agency, they ask you a lot of questions about your resources and about your motivations and about your character and about your plans in order to qualify to adopt, whereas a fertility clinic doesn't do any of that. That's a conversation I think worth having in this culture.
KB in New York writes, I think older parents can be great parents. However, what happens when the parents are aging and the child is dealing with end of life issues at a very young age? Dealing with aging parents is difficult enough when you're in your 40s or 50s, but I can't imagine it's experiencing those challenges when you're in your 20s and 30s.
Right. I mean, I think this is where the question, how old is too old, is a real question, right? If your parents die and you're 30, you're presumably an adult enough to handle this. Probably better if you're 50, but when you're 30, you can do it. If you're 18, if you're 20, it's a problem. There's no question about it.
On the other hand, an awful lot of people are being brought up by their grandparents, and don't they have to face the same kinds of issues?
That's right. I mean, we do make the point in the story that, you know, growing numbers of American kids are being brought up by their grandparents, and nobody questions them. They're actually America's great heroes. And nobody says, oh, they'll be too exhausted, or oh, they can't throw a ball, or oh, they can't ride a bike, or oh, they can't, you know, stay up late. Everybody just says, you know, thank you, Grandma.
Many people have called in to suggest that adoption is an alternative to having a child at an older age, but as some of our commenters have suggested, that's not really the case.
Well, it's difficult to adopt a child at an older age. One of the things I didn't mention in the story, but which is really happening a lot, is that a lot of older couples are going to the foster care system and finding children that way. You can get an older child if you're older, and a lot of those kids need homes, so that's an alternative.
And older people will often be more patient.
And have more resources.
I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. I've been talking with Lisa Miller, whose article in New York Magazine, where she is a contributing editor, is called Parents of a Certain Age. It's in the September 25th issue of the magazine, but you can also find a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org. And people can also check out the comments that have been made in response to the article at New York Magazine.
Yep, they're great. They're dynamite.
And that's at newyork.com?
NYMag.com.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. And thank you, all of you who have written in and called in. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Thanks, Leonard.